The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Lord,
be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. When the Pharisees, with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all the Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders, and on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs, kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" And he responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition." He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. You know, I did not realize that when I was a young child how holy I really was. And humble. For many times I sat down at the dinner table, my mother said, "Did you wash your hands?" And I didn't. So I was like Jesus and his disciples, right? Now, parents are getting mad at me, aren't you? Jesus is not saying we shouldn't wash our hands. It's a good thing to wash your hands before you eat, because that way they're clean and you won't get sick. But in all seriousness, today's readings really are quite challenging. Hello, David. Somebody asked where you had been. We missed you. Thank you. Sorry for pointing you out like that. The first reading and the second reading really talk about laws, religious but also societal, because the Jewish people did not distinguish church and state. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about laws and the social teaching, especially Catholic social teaching, and also the gospel and the highest law of love. The first reading begins in a very important part. Moses, after the people have traveled through the desert for 40 years, are about to enter the promised land, he's telling them, "Now when we go in there, God gave us this law. And this law is beautiful and good. And we must follow the law if we are to survive and thrive." Now, for us modern people, or at least myself, I don't appreciate really the beauty of the law. And so I have to work at it. But what Moses is pointing out is that God gave this law for the good of the people. And they were transitioning from a nomadic society in the desert, going into a promised land where they were going to flourish and become more numerous, and the resources would be limited because it's a confined space. And in such conditions, God gave them this law so that they could love one another, live in harmony, share the resources, watch out for one another, and in so doing would be a people that give such a good example to other nations that it would cause them to wonder what is the source of their life that they live together in love so well. It must be that their God is truly a loving and powerful God. Make sense so far? And so us modern people sometimes, myself included, when we hear law say, oh, it's an imposition on my free will and my rights. But our gospel and the Catholic social teaching challenges us to think in a different way. You see, if everyone went into the promised land or in society does whatever they want because we have freedom and individual rights, it would be a free-for-all, a competition, and the strong survive, and there would be battles and division. But God does not want that. And so even Jesus in the Gospels elsewhere tells us that the fundamental law behind all the laws that God gave was to love God and love your neighbor. And we do have freedom. God gave us freedom. Why did God give us freedom? I like to talk about this. We're created in God's image and likeness. God is love. And so our highest call and our purpose is to love God and one another. But in order to do that, we can't be forced. It must be a free gift. And so God gives us freedom. And what is the right use then of that freedom? It really is to love one another. And in these societal laws that God gave the people, including us, is the precept that you should treat your neighbor as you would treat yourself, to lay down your life for another, to love God and love your neighbor. And so have you heard this before, that in our faith there's basically two dimensions, the vertical dimension to love God, the horizontal dimension to love others, and that makes a cross? Have you ever heard of that? Oh, you haven't. Oh. Okay, well, now you have. But also, I would like to add an additional element. On many of our crosses, there's a corpus, a sacrifice. And that sacrifice of Jesus giving his life perfectly in love to us out of obedience to the Father for our good is the example of what love is. And it does require a self-sacrifice. And so there's three elements: love of God, love of neighbor, but that's done by sacrificing self for the good of others. And so in our law, and it is Catholic social teaching, that to have a just society, a society that lives in harmony, does require that we sacrifice ourselves for the common good, that we willingly forego some of our rights, some of our comforts, some of our freedoms, so that the community may live in harmony and that we may love one another and all people might have what they need to flourish. And so that's one of the central elements of Catholic social teaching. Now, it's interesting when you move to the gospel. It sounds like Jesus is saying the exact opposite thing. Because he's saying, don't follow these laws. What's going on there is that over time, 100, 200 years before Jesus, a class of religious people, a little bit like Franciscans, called the Pharisees, developed. And because the Jewish people had found the law to be so good from God that helped people flourish, they wanted to help encourage everyone to follow the law. And so how did they do that? They made more laws to protect the laws. And so, especially in an environment where the Jewish people were being spread out in the diaspora and other countries, other nations that had different gods and different practices, they developed all these traditions Jesus is talking about, washing the hands, purifying themselves, being clean, so that the people could identify with their heritage, the chosen people, a people of Yahweh that are set apart to be clean from the rest of the sinful world and to give an example. But Jesus, of course, points out that you're making such a focus of that, you're forgetting the law that I gave you to love God and love others. Because we can use the law to beat up on others. We can use our faith to beat up on others. We can use our faith and our religious practices to feel superior to others. And that's violating the law that God gave us, to love God and love others. And so you see in this gospel, Jesus' disciples really are breaking the law, because it is also a Catholic social teaching principle that all laws are subject to the evaluation of the higher law, God's law. And so some laws that we human make can be unjust laws, and they do not require our obedience, because God is love seeking the common good. And so these are difficult principles, and they're very controversial. So you take the situations today in our environment, in our world, we have many disagreements about the laws, don't we? The mask mandates, immigration, our financial policies, our taxing and our helping the poor, our care of the environment and regulations. We are called to consider these things as part of our faith, that we are to work together as a people to build up one another, to work for the common good, to have a just society where all are cared for, and Catholic social teaching says a preferential option for the poor, so that by our example and living in harmony and love, people will see that God is real, that God is love, and that there is something about this life more important than just what we see. And so the challenge is today, as we debate about our different laws, is to remember some of these principles. I'm going to get a little controversial here. The mask mandate. Fundamentally, it is about love. It's about caring for others and inconveniencing ourselves some. Our immigration policies and a just immigration and accepting refugees and caring for the poor. It is about love and having preferential option for the poor. Because Catholic social teaching says a society is not evaluated on how well off are the richest, but how well off are the least. And so we are obligated, especially as a richer nation and richer peoples, to not only protect our own prosperity and comfort, but to sacrifice that so that all people have at least what they need to live. These are difficult things. And we can argue about our laws all we want, and we should debate them and try to find just laws, and there are no easy answers. But if we really get to the point where we're beating each other up over our laws, we're again missing the point. The point is to love God and love one another. And so Jesus concludes with the heart of the matter, which is our hearts. Right? We'll never have a just society with just laws if we're people whose hearts are far from God, that are selfish, that are still filled with vice, and not God's love. And so let us focus more so on the source of all our behavior, our heart. And when we examine our laws and our actions in life, sometimes they point out that our hearts need to be healed and purified. And so we open our heart to God's love. The more we receive God's love, that vertical dimension, the easier it is to sacrifice self for others. Because God's love so completely fills us that it makes us want to do that. And so life is messy. We do have many laws that we debate about, both our church and our world. But the focus is our hearts. God purifies our hearts. Let us open our hearts to that so that we may truly then live as a people in greater harmony and love, giving witness to the power of God and His love.